I want to have a word of prayer before we begin. I know Joshua prayed for me. I appreciate that, the speaker, so I'm going to pray. We thank you, Lord, for this day, Father. We thank you, Father, to have the opportunity to come before you, Lord. Father, we just ask that you be glorified in everything said and done. And give us ears to hear, Father, to receive of you and to go forth and be obedient, O God, to that which you speak to each of our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The title for this is Singleness of Heart. And God's just been dealing with me forever, it seems. I taught a Bible class that Sue and I have been going to, and they invited me. And I shared on the lesson was on single and on marriage. So I've been single since 1986. I was married in 1959, got saved in 1965. And received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through prayer with a sister, dear sister, and Betty. And God has really been my husband. I was always married. He wasn't. He was here or there. So we were divorced in 86. And I raised my two sons. Then I had their opportunities of two great nieces and a granddaughter. Granddaughter lived with me for 6 years. Then Savannah was with me for 6 years, then a year. And Savannah's back living with me again. Praise God for where she was at and what she was going through. I had another great niece. I kept telling God, I don't want to raise no more kids. I'm done. And God said, consider these opportunities. And they have been. Not only has it been responsibility, but it's been really, it's done a work in me. God has blessed me and done a work in me and being patient and loving. And he's really done a work through these that I've brought into, you know, to my home and with my children. So I came in a period, when I was married, I wanted God to save. Of course, you do if you're saved and your spouse is not, to save, which didn't happen. And then there came the severing that God began to do. And so we were, you know, divorced. So from then after that, I started praying, oh, Lord, give me someone to love me and a mate, you know. And God said, seek ye first me, the kingdom, and all these things shall be added. So when in this time he's been doing a work that he's wanting to be first and foremost in my life, and he brought me to the place where I can say, and even say now, if I never had anyone, I have him. And this song about he's so great, there's no one else like him. There is no one else like him. How he can fully satisfy and is so sufficient and meet every need in your life. And he has been doing this in me. Yesterday, Charles and I sat. I took Savannah over to Columbus to visit a friend. And Charles and I sat for probably 3 hours and talked. And he was in tears telling me about, I was really blessed when he talked about my life and my walk, you know, before him and how that God has ministered to him through me. And I thank God because it's been him and all these things. But I settled it, Lord, if you never give me anyone, I am so satisfied, you know, in you. And I have been, and still am. So when he did bring someone into my life, it came, you know, when you're not expecting. There's this movie I saw, Love Comes Softly, and that's how it came. And I really love him, and I know he loves me, and we pray together, and it's beautiful. But I came, at first I was thinking, I don't want no one else interfering in my relationship with God. You know, and God has shown me, single, whether you're single or whether you're married, there has to be a singleness unto him. He has to be first and foremost. He is your priority. He is your love. He is everything because there's a place he has for himself that our spouse, our friend, our children. No one can fill this place but him. And this is what he's been teaching me and why I wanted to share, you know, to share it. And I was reading, Tobias had bought this book for me, Woman, Thou Art Loosed. And I've had it for years. I skimmed through it and didn't really. And then I started reading in there, Single and Anointed. I want to give a scripture, but I wanted to give in Ephesians. Let me read. But I read in there about single and anointed. And then the next chapter was A Table Set for Two. And he talks about a spicy meal. This is T.D. Jakes. Set on a wobbly table. This is like marriage. And God was showing me, and he was saying in here that marriage is a ministry. And it is. I just thank God for what he's been showing me, what I've been learning of him, what I've been seeing, and that Sue and I share and pray together. And then when I had this, was in this lesson that there's some were single and some were married, and that we shared, and I really feel that God really blessed. I was blessed sharing in the things and the input from the different ones. But I have read it. Let me see. First, I was in this. It was Genesis 1:26. And in Genesis 1:26, it said, God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make mankind in our own image, our own likeness, and let him have complete authority over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all that creeps. So God created man in his own image. God created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue. Using all the vast sources and have dominion over them. And God said, I have given every plant. And he was goes on saying, but and saw it was good. But man, you look and saw all these animals that really had mates. They had, and that Adam didn't. And then when God took and he formed and made Eve as the helpmeet. And I was reading that and seeing that and what Eve meant and the place that God had for her with, you know, with Adam and the oneness that God seeks for Adam and Eve to have for us, husbands and wives to have as the church and Christ. And I read then, after that, I was reading in that, I read in 1 Corinthians 7, let me go to that, 1 Corinthians. Let me see, 7. It says, now as a matter of which you wrote me, he goes on, this is Paul speaking, expedient for a man not to touch a woman to cohabit with her, but to remain unmarried. But because of the temptation to impurity and to avoid immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, goodwill, kindness, and what is due her as his wife. Likewise, the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority and control over her body, but that the husband has his rights. And also the husband does not have exclusive authority over his body. And it goes on, I was reading, saying, showing that the submissiveness that we have unto one another as unto God. And that one doesn't have authority really over the other because they're looking to Christ as their head and doing all as unto Christ. And then I know Paul was talking, but he was speaking of himself because he saw that this was for him not, you know, it was not to be married, and it was speaking for himself. And God was just showing me that no matter who our spouse, who, you know, who God gives us, that there is that relationship that we must have with him that's far above all else, and that he is to be the center, you know, of our lives and our marriage. T.D. Jakes was saying that many times he hears single women in the church saying, oh, I wish I had a husband, or I wish I had a companion, or, you know, this. He said, hearing them say, I thank God for the time that I have with God, the single women, for the experiences I have in him, the responsibilities I'm not having, you know, as a married woman, that I so enjoy. I can wake up early in the morning and lay in bed and praise the Lord. I can lay on the floor, you know, this thing, showing all the things that you have as a single woman, and saying sometimes some of the married women, instead of the single woman envying the married women envy the single, looking at what they have in Christ. But God was showing me that even if we're married, that we can have this relationship in him. Sure, there's a responsibility that we have to our spouse, and there's that we want to express to them and love them as unto Christ, as Christ loved the church. And he's just been doing such a work in me, because I know he's preparing me for marriage. And I just want God's will in all things, and I want him to be first and foremost in my life and my relationship with him, and to love him above all else, no matter who you have, who you don't have, that he is your very source. And this is what, you know, he's been teaching me. So in Ephesians 5:21-30, said at all times, in Ephesians 5, I'm starting at 21, at all times, for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wives, be submissive and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. And as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject to everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle, and any such things, that she might be holy, even as husbands should love their wives, and being in a sense their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. And it said, then it goes on about the church, saying, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relationship of Christ and the church. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being in a sense his very own self. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates him, and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. And I see that God is wanting this for us as married couples, and even in the body, that we esteem one another, that we're subject to one another, that we love one another. When you look at the body of Christ and the relationship between Christ and the church, You're seeing a marriage, and I'm seeing this in natural, in a marriage between husband and wife. So I've been studying on this and wanting God's will, and I want to be this to a husband and to him, you know, to me. So I want to tell you a little bit about, y'all have met Buddy, Oliver Reaver, that comes down here. And we started out just as friends. I knew him since I was in the first grade. I used to have a crush on him when I was in the first grade. Then I used to try to, I was tomboy, so he didn't like me, so I wanted to fight him. And, so and they lived next door to us for a while. He denies he remembers this, but I think it's because I acted so terrible. And so then, well, we lived in California at different times, but he was married, I was married to someone else. His wife passed away, and then, you know, I was divorced. Then he used to come back every year with his other brother to visit Betty and the family. And we used to go, I used to go down, and I cook, help cook, I love to cook. So I'd help cook meals and that. And then he moved, he and his daughter, to Tennessee. So I'm giving you a little bit of background on Buddy. To Tennessee. And so his sister, Mary, said that he was really going through things because his son had died. And she said, "You're such a talker and love to talk and minister." She says, "Why don't you talk to Buddy?" And I said, "Well, if he wants to, if he wants to give me his number." So anyway, we talked for over a year. I talked a lot about everything. You know, about when we were young, everything, and became good friends. And you know, lots of times when you like someone, so this wasn't going on then, when you think back when you're young, you're dating, you're wanting to kind of impress the person. You want them to see the good part of you. And you, you're laughing, Joey knows. And so, so you're wanting them, you're kind of acting and being like you think they would expect you to act, you know. Well, I didn't have to do that with Buddy. We become friends. I was myself. I was my son's say. I give him credit, Mom, because I can be mouthy and that. And he's more laid back, subdued. He's really good for me, and I am for him. And I thank God for how he's put us together. So when we were just going down playing, Betty and us, and enjoying it, that's where it started. I'd already been talking to him for over a year and that, and we just became good friends, buddies. And I could just say anything and act any old way, be my little ugly self sometimes, you know how we are. We all have that. And it's really good. And I thank God, but I just was wanting to so share how God is wanting the singleness of heart unto him. And even in the midst of all this and the joy that I feel and the time we spend together and we pray together and we talk and we share, I just really see how important it is for us to so have Christ first and foremost in our lives singularly. And then when we come together, we still have to have this single relationship, this love for Christ, this hunger for him, this wanting him above all else. He's so special to us. And then he the center of our marriage, where it's a three-strand cord, you know, three cord that is not easily broken. And this is what he's been putting on my heart. And I just desire it. I look at all the couples in here and the single ones and the one that I see, and I was just seeing the importance that, and you desire, when you love people, you desire for their lives the very best that Christ has for them. And this is what has been upon my heart and what I was sharing. I know this isn't very long, but I just wanted to share with what God was doing in my life and how I certainly desire your prayers and wanting to be all that God would have, you know, me to be. One thing that Charles, we talk a lot and pray together, and so with Tobias too. So everybody wanted to meet him when I was first talking about him. I said, "What's this grin on her face?" So they all met. They've all met him. My nieces, my one niece came all the way from Columbus to me, and his daughter came up to meet me from Tennessee, and she told me, she said, "I already love you because of all the things." I don't want to cry, because of all the things that my dad has said to you, and he's been through some hurtful situations and things. And she said, "I already love you because of all the things that he has said about you to me." And so every time she calls, if I'm there, we talk and that. And I just thank God. You know, I'm 73 years old, I think. My goodness, I'm in love like I've never, ever been. Truly, 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 I've never been, and I thank God, and I certainly desire your prayers, and I certainly want all of us to really have Christ first and foremost in our lives, in our marriages, in our relationships, no matter who they're with friends, with our children, with everyone we meet, And last week we were talking about being the salt of the earth in Sunday school. And this is what I so desire, that no matter where I'm at, that people look upon and that they see the Christ. And I desire it for all of you, and I know you all desire it for yourselves, that we are the salt of the earth, that we minister, that we have a singleness of heart to God, and that because of it and the relationship that we have with him, that he is being seen in and through our lives, that he is blessing us and he is blessing others that come in contact with us. I just thank God. I don't have any more to share. I don't know if Cynthia has a song that would go with what I've shared, but this book, Thou Art a Woman, Thou Art Loosed, is really good for any, I was thinking of Lisa back there. And different ones, Sue got it, and then she ended up giving it to another single woman that we met. But it is really good what he's teaching, and about the anointing of God in our lives and his presence in us and many hurts that maybe we have been through, but how God is loosening us to so know him, so express him. And I thank God for the word that comes forth here, and the brethren, the ones that share in Sunday school, and Rich and Clyde and Jim and Brother Oscar Sister Kathy, and those that have shared. You've been so much to my life, and I mean so much. Sue and I, we cannot wait for Sunday. I know we drive a distance, but we sing, talk. We're here before you know it. And it doesn't mean anything to drive the distance and that, because we so are anxious to be with our brothers and sisters, you know, the other members of the body, our family. And we so enjoy coming. And you're all such a blessing to us. And we thank you. Praise you.
Lord, I want to be like you. It is my heart's desire.
Yes.
I want to know you face to face, not from afar.
Yes.
To die to my own will and lay ambitions down,
to wholly seek your face. Oh, yes, Lord.
While walking in your grace, take my life.
Yes, Lord.
Let it be wholly unto thee. Take my life. Let it be wholly unto thee. A living sacrifice.
Yes.
A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, Lord. Lord, I give you my life.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah, yes. Lord, I give you my life. Take my life. Yes, God.
Yes, Jesus.
Let it be holy unto thee. Take my life.
I give it all to you, Lord. Lord, yes. I give you my life. Take it all, every part of me. Lord, I give you my life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank all of you, that brother Oscar. Yes, Father. Amen.